consuming fire. I search and seek, but you're never hard to find. The more of you I see, the more that I desire. I need you more than the air that I breathe. You've captured my heart every beat. You're pulling me closer. Taste I get, Jesus, I can't get enough. I need you more than the air that I breathe. You've captured my heart every beat. You're pulling me closer. I need to praise you over and over, over and over. The more captured my heart every beat. You're pulling me closer. I need you, all that I am, at your feet to pour out my love and to praise you over and over.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Hayes, and I'll be reading the scripture today. Today we're reading Luke 6, 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give it to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. And Chris said she would be glad to exchange if someone else wanted the second Sunday, she would take a different Sunday. So anybody who would like to do that, I want to let you know that I try to make it as easy as possible. I print it nice and big so anybody can see it. And I take out all the Hebrew and Aramaic words so you don't have to figure out how they say those. So I was wondering, as this day approached, I said, you know, what am I going to do here? I've got the Super Bowl coming up. I've got Valentine's coming up, and I don't even know what the lectionary reading is going to be. How is it all going to fit together? Lo and behold, God seems to have a plan, and the scripture is about love. And I figured I love football, so Super Bowl works in there too. But I actually wanted to start with that, and the idea that love has a very frivolous kind of connotation in the United States and in the English-speaking world because, as I preached once before, the Greeks have 9 words for love and we have 1. And because of that, you can get some really strange sentences that happen. A guy named Eric Church wrote a song. I'm just going to read briefly through his lyrics. I love sleeping late on Saturday. I love college football games. I love not acting my age. I love good cold beer. I love a good loud honky-tonk. I love my truck. I love my dog. I love Jack D in my coat. But I love your love the most. I'm sure he didn't really think that he loved all those things the same. And it gets back to that understanding that Greek has the different words. There's storge and ludus and Felucia, and Filio, and Eros. Eros is a romantic love. Filia is a brothers-in-arms sort of thing. Storge is a natural obligation, like a family. You can love your dog, storge. You can love the guys that you served with in the military, it's a filia. But agape, or agape, is what the Bible is usually talking about when it talks about love. And it is a selfless, all-giving, holding nothing back kind of love. And in that, I found the connection to the Super Bowl. I have decided I'm going to be cheering for the Los Angeles Rams today. And it isn't just because they're selling shirts in Meijer that say, the Detroit Rams, Matthew Stafford. I couldn't believe that when I saw that. No, it's because there's a guy named Andrew Whitworth, who this week was named the Walter Payton Man of the Year, which I think is the Super Bowl of the NFL. The Walter Payton Man of the Year is the person who does the most outstanding service to his community off the field, as well as having excellence on it. Whitworth is 40 years old and will be the oldest offensive lineman ever to play in the Super Bowl. He plays left tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, but the reason he won the award is Big Wits Homes for Families in Los Angeles. Seems Whitworth has his own personal Habitat for Humanity-like project. He says, I don't want to give somebody a handout. I want to change their life. And he gets them into homes of their own. I was struck by how powerful that was. It wasn't just an act of charity. He wanted to change their lives. He wanted to truly love them. I really found that a wonderful reminder of what it means to agape love. Because one of the things about an agape love is it doesn't have to be, and most often is not reciprocal. I was said this morning that I find it easy to provide agape love for my wife, Juliana. One of the reasons is I know she's going to receive it well, and she usually gives it back. It's kind of a wonderful symbiotic relationship there. But one of the things that I did understand is that it is personal. If you watch the commercials outside and it talks about the Valentine's Day, you'll see that the way you show someone you love is you buy them 2 dozen long stem roses, you buy them 20 pounds of chocolate, you buy them perfume, you buy them. But that isn't true. I can tell you in a very personal sense, if I did that for my wife, I'd be sleeping on the couch. Because one, she doesn't like roses. Two, she has no use for perfume. She finds the fragrance annoys her and dries out her throat. She's trying to be good in her diet, and me bringing 20 pounds of chocolate would get my ear chewed off. Agape is a giving in a way that shows your love toward them. And I think Whitworth's ability to change people's lives by giving them a home to live in truly is an act of agape love. The Detroit Lions played the Los Angeles Rams this year. What you might not be aware of is after the game, Whitworth was walking toward the locker room when one of the Lions came charging at him, running full speed. And he recognized that he was one of the defenders, and he says, I don't remember a late hit or a chop block or a cheap shot, or I don't know what this is about. And the guy came running up to him, and he said, hey, man, you don't remember me. I'm Derek Barnes. But when you were starting out in Cincinnati and talking to the Boys and Girls Club, I was a little boy there. And the talk meant the world to me. You sat with me and talked with me about life and said, be ready, your chance is coming. Prepare yourself to take advantage of it. Whit, I did. I made it. All the way to the NFL. I just wanted you to know. So the rest of the story is that, do you know who the Los Angeles Rams are playing in the Super Bowl? Cincinnati. You know who cut Whitlock and cut him loose? The Cincinnati Bengals. Do you know what he has to say about that? He said, God bless me so much. He says, not only do I get to play in the Super Bowl, but either I win or the town that loved me first wins. That's an incredible dude. I'd be saying, in your face. But maybe that's why I'm not there. See, this agape love is something that is very difficult. But it sounds simple. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we say some bold stuff, and I don't think we can fully understand what we're saying. Give us this day our daily bread. Let our entire pantry, refrigerator, and freezer be empty. Just give me enough for today. But the part that scares me is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, we always have this idea that when we get to heaven, the person we love most will be the one at the gate. Walter Brueggemann was a preacher, and he says, no, I think you got it backwards. I think it's the person with whom you had the most trouble in life that will meet you at the gate. And if you can really forgive those trespasses, then you get in. How does that play out in real life? Well, I would like to take you back in time to October 2006 to a place called Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. It was a small Amish community. Recess had just ended and 20 Amish kids were headed back into their one-room schoolhouse. Local truck driver, Chuck Roberts, pulled up in front of the school, went inside, sent the adults and the boys home, lined up the 10 little girls in front of the chalkboard and shot them. It became a national story. But as the story unfolded, it wasn't the hate and the heinous behavior of the killer, but the lives of the victim's family that became the center of the story. America was shocked that these gentle people kept offering forgiveness. The grandfather of one child said, "We can't think evil of this man." Another one said, "Regardless of what he does, he has a mother and a wife." One Amish neighbor went to comfort the Roberts family in the days that followed, and they set up a charitable fund for the family of the shooter who no longer had a means of support. The Amish tore down the school and rebuilt it somewhere else, leaving a pasture of flowers and wild roses. And they said, "Forgiveness is like the scent of the roses as we walk through the field." So, true forgiveness is an act of love. To be the first to apologize means you are the bravest and the strongest. But you also find that the first to forget is the happiest. True forgiveness is given whether it's asked for or not. And since we're a human, true forgiveness is a continual process. When I was in one of my first appointments, I was undercut by one of my colleagues who didn't think what I was doing was going to work and told everybody who would listen that it would. I had friends who came to me and told me what they had done, and I said, "I'm going to go give them a piece of my mind and then tell them that I forgive them." Another friend of mine said, "Maybe you could just forgive them and not tell them at all." See, it's a challenge. It's something that works in our lives. But as it works in our lives, it works in the lives of others. Giving to people who can give back to you, loving people who love you back, is easy. And everybody does that. So, how do we stand out? By loving without expecting return. It is something that is difficult to do, but when it happens, it speaks volumes, as it did in West Nickel, Pennsylvania. I was listening to a song with my daughter, Janis Joplin's "Take Another Little Piece of My Heart." And that is a very worldly understanding of love and how love works. But the thought I want to leave you with is that God doesn't want a little piece of your heart. He wants your whole heart. And God not only wants your whole heart, He wants to make your heart whole. And the way that becomes whole is by using it to give agape love. It makes you whole, and it reveals God. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you on Super Bowl Sunday and the day before Valentine's Day, help us to understand that love is something much different than we understand. It isn't about showing love and respect for those that love and respect us, but showing your love to people who need it and may not even realize it. Help us understand what it means to love with abandon. To love without expecting return. And to love with an ongoing forgiveness, like the ongoing forgiveness and love we receive from you. And all God's people said, amen.